We're still studying blasphemy. Blasphemy is an interesting term because it fundamentally means to deny the foundation, whatever foundational truth is the basis of whatever you perceive. But blasphemy becomes more and more general the narrower the path gets. For us, blasphemy would be to deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. But that wouldn't be blasphemy for somebody else. So it's a narrowing path.
Isn't one point that it talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit as a bad thing to do?
Well, yeah, we talked about that at great length. Remember, the only blasphemy, the only unforgivable sin is that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is you deny the Holy Spirit's function, which is to reveal Jesus Christ. That's his main job. And so, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit would be to deny his function, or his main job, which is if Christ isn't revealed. And for us, it's if he isn't revealed in us.
You can say whatever you want about Jesus, it seems, but don't be blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Well, and again, it's because that's his ultimate goal, is to reveal the Holy Spirit. I mean, to reveal Jesus.
Yeah.
That's his function. You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking how, and I talked about this a little bit last night, that the Holy Spirit is seldom discussed as a person. It's like he's mentioned and talked about, but the person of the Spirit is
because that's because he's not really revealed as this person. He's not revealed in the same way the Father is or the Son is.
Yeah, yeah. There's a mystery about that aspect of God.
And that's why the charismatics believe that, some of them even teach that if you deny speaking in tongues, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But all those issues are really... they're really not important. But let's look at, let's go to Leviticus 24. See it in the law. Leviticus 24. Start in verse 10. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of an Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, and they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, and the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Now that's pretty that's pretty interesting. So that's the fundamental law. I mean, the fundamental comment about blaspheming in the law. He that blasphemeth shall be put to death. Now, the definition of blaspheming throughout the history, it was interesting. Let's go first to Ezekiel 9.
It would be interesting to see what this guy was doing.
Well, we don't know.
Okay.
Ezekiel 9.
The curse of God.
Ezekiel 9 is right after that whole chapter 8, which is describing what's going on inside. And let's look at starting in verse 10 of chapter 8. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now the idea that you believe the Lord has forsaken the earth is when you deny chastisement as of the Lord. If you think suffering is strange, then you're saying the Lord has forsaken the earth. You understand that? So there's something in you that the Lord isn't doing, or something about you that the Lord isn't doing, and therefore he has forsaken the earthen vessel. And that's the basis of this next blasphemy. And let's watch in Ezekiel 9. This is when it's the vision of slaughter, when if the right mark wasn't in their forehead, they were slaughtered. And so let's look at starting verse 4. Well, we might as well start. Let's start in verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a written writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they begin at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go you forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, and this is the reason that the death, it's this other definition of blasphemy. The iniquity of the house of Israel of Judah and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Now, can you see how often we periodically think the Lord has forsaken us? And we have to see, in order for us to truly know the fear of God, we have to understand what that is. That is blasphemy.
To say that he's forsaken you?
Yes. That's a further definition of blasphemy, you see, because it was the death penalty. Because they said, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, the Lord seeth it's not. You got it? Any questions?
Well, when you are in that place, your sensory systems all proclaim it. There is no God, he's forsaken you. You were wrong. And all the accusations come forth in your mind. And your response is that the Lord will never forsake. I don't care what I feel like, I don't care what I think. Truth is,
blah, blah, blah. Right. All right. Let's.
And then Jesus himself said, "You know, why have you forsaken me?"
Right. So he even that part of it he took upon you when he said, "The Lord hath forsaken me."
When he did draw back from Jesus, so is that not forsaken him?
Well, let's see. Let's go to Malachi now, the last chapter in the Old Testament. My last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 3. Now this is interesting because it's the last book of the Torah. And this is the last chapter of the Torah. And for 400 years after Malachi was written, there was not a prophet in Israel. 400 years. That's longer than America.
That's several generations.
Yeah. Generations.
So let's see what this... It's important for us to see what this last thing is. Let's start in verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And there should be a but before verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. So we're approaching another definition of blasphemy. And that is the idea that you have said in your heart, it's a vain thing to serve God. And this is what the disciples did. After Christ's resurrection, Peter called unto him seven disciples, and he said, we go a-fishing. Or he said, I go a-fishing. And seven of them went with him. And they didn't mean they were going to go out for a weekend fishing. It meant they were going to leave their calling and return to their old way of life. No, that was blasphemy. Now the reason, there's not a person alive, that's apparently alive, that hasn't committed blasphemy. And that's why the human race died on the cross. But if you continue to keep yourself alive, then blasphemy is your daily function. Is that clear? That's all you can do. Because the human race was found guilty of blasphemy, among many other things. And that's why all men died on the cross. And this is the thing that's been lost from modern Christianity. They say, well, this is for those other people.
Well, Jesus being the sin offering, his death would cover that.
But that's why you are sin. That's why the sin offering was made. You're dead. Because he died.
One died
for all, and all are dead.
Yeah, that's a default.
It's the default if we live it. It's not the default if you think it.
Well, whether we think it or not, it's the truth.
Right, but God will use everything. He uses everything, but the question is, will he use you? And this is why the fear of God is always present. A little bit. The point of setting blasphemy is we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
And it's a death sentence. All right, let's go to Let's look at some more.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. If it's a death sentence, but we're already dead, how does that compute? There's something more here, it seems.
Well,
we've already died.
If you're already dead, then you're dead. Then you're no longer you. But when the self is resurrected by the evil one from his deadly head wound, then it's just the same as it was before. There's no difference. In dying, that's why in Genesis it clearly says. If you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in dying you shall surely die. In other words, there's no hope.
Yeah, the surely die was the cross.
Well, that might be, but in dying, then you shall surely die if you don't, if you rejected him, or if you don't, if he isn't your life. There's a whole lot of it. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians and see really what blasphemy is. Looking at it again. Chapter 2. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's the ultimate blasphemy. It goes all the way back to Genesis. The idea that you have eaten and continue to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? This is why. I mean, all of this returns us to this idea that the entire world, if the world is your home, you're deceived. There's no in between. The world is not our home. You see it. That's why we'll get to it again here in a little bit, but this whole stuff about before the world began, there's ever and always only been one thing going on. The destruction of cell phones. No. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy, next page, if you like my Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
This is where Paul defines himself. Well, let's just read it. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Gary's like emitting noises.
That may be a modern version of amen. I don't think so.
Faith
or hallelujah
is in Christ Jesus. Love is in Christ Jesus. Truth is in Christ Jesus. The way is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that isn't in him that is not. Everything that is not in him is blasphemy. Now let's look at...
There's something still here going on with me about sin.
There certainly is.
Sin has been dealt with.
It's dealt with, but it won't do you any good. If you can, I mean, whoever is ignoring it, whoever ignores this stuff, it's not going to do them any good.
Well, we're right on the line of behavior. If you're good,
has nothing to do with being good. The life of the Lord, the life is in Christ Jesus. There is no other life. Everything else is death. Everything else is blasphemy.
You're saying good. Another word you could say, being obedient. So being obedient to the word, being good.
Well, it's location of spirit. This is the concept we don't have in the English language. In him, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy. There is, against such there is no law. Out of him is blasphemy, death, travail, nothing, you know, everything it's everything is positional, in him or out of him. And in him, this is what it looks like. Out of him, this is what it looks like. And that in him position isn't variable. All who dwell on the earth are deceived. You must be transformed by the renewing, or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You must bring, and whether you like this or not, you must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You must destroy the high places of your mind. You must stop paying attention to the whore. You must, because one is position, both are positional. You're either in the whore or in the bride. There's no neutral ground. Either a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy. It doesn't matter what the vessel of mercy, a vessel of wrath calls itself.
So
it's all digital.
Is it a choice? We make the choice?
No. Of course not. Why? But the only necessity is to see the vanity of the human race.
Okay, that's different than you must. The must sounds like you're saying, here's what you got.
No, I'm saying it's all positional. In him is life and joy and peace. Out of him is blasphemy, death, sin. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. You call yourself a Christian all day. You have made 23 walks down the aisle. Accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. It's meaningless. It's the life, not what you call the life. It's in his name, not in his name. And this is the only thing that's going to bring the fear of God on you. Otherwise, you'll use the mystery of God for license. And it's not optional. You know, it's not that you try to do it. That's what you will do.
Yeah, I think with the understanding, you say it like we said, we all blaspheme. But if we blaspheme in ignorance, we don't have any awareness of what we're doing.
Right.
We're just doing what we're doing. But if we're made, just like Jesus, they didn't have sin until he told them.
Right. If I hadn't come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin.
Right.
And yet that was the most sin-conscious society that has ever lived. Because the real sin is self. That's the fruit of the fall. All right, we're over past time.
Yeah.
Consider these things. They're the most radical words you'll ever hear. What?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.